All right, I think that's the bell. Time to get cranked up tonight. If my throat will go, I had a cough I can't get rid of all of a sudden. In addition to the lesson sheet tonight, there is a family tree of Abraham's family, like I've been putting on the screen, only it's got the next generations on it. So it's a little more detail. So we start seeing the next level up there. We'll look at it on the screen tonight, but that's being passed out along with the lesson tonight. So we're looking at Genesis 25 in a minute, starting with verse 19, starting with Isaac. We'll back up and get a running start and look at what we did last time right quick. And last lesson, Abraham, it's got very old. Sarah's died. He's old and he is concerned about a wife for Isaac. So he calls in his most trusted servant and has him to swear. It's very important to Abraham that he does two things. Number one is that he not get a wife for Isaac from around the people around him there. And secondly is that he not take Isaac back to the homeland. He goes back to the homeland himself to find a wife for Isaac. He says, God's angel will guide you. Go back and find the wife. And if she won't come back with you once you find her, then you're released from the oath. There. So he took gifts and departed. I'm going to go back and look. I'm going to bring about 10 camels that he took. Well, I hope that's just on gifts or that's the people he had with him or what. But comment about that here in a minute. So when they got back to the homeland and went to the well, it's time for the women to go out to draw water. And when I was thinking about with 10 camels, we were talking about it after class last time. Jeremy looked up. A normal camel can drink, when it's thirsty, about 30 gallons of water. So if you had 10 camels and 30 gallons of water each, that's 300 gallons. A gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. That's 2,400 pounds. That's over a ton of water she had to draw. So anyhow, this is a little interesting statistic run through there. That's a lot of water that the young lady drew. So learn to work was the point we made about all that, with that. So Abraham's servant, talk about three different times he prays, quick, apparently a little quick, short prayers, but for a success of his mission, not for anything for him, but for the benefit of his master Abraham and Isaac, with that. Rebecca comes out then to draw water. He's prayed to God that whoever he says, give me a drink, and they say, I will. She says, I will, and I'll water your camels too. That'd be the one. That's the sign he's looking for. That's exactly what happened with Rebecca when she came out there. So, he gives her some gifts there and asks about a place to stay for himself and his camels. And she says, we got plenty of straw. We got a place to stay. But then he stops again and thanks for God for the success he had in finding Rebecca. Then we got introduced to her brother Laban, who came out to meet, Abraham's servant here and the entourage with him, and go back and meet the family. The fool is the father. And this is she would be the granddaughter of Nahor, Abraham's brother. So we're in the family here. That's what was the purpose there. So he tells them why he came to visit, what his purpose was, what he had prayed to God for, how it all came about. And they came up then and said, this is from the Lord. We can't stand in the way of it. Obviously, what you've asked for is what's happened. And therefore, we're with you. We're in on it. So, again, another prayer for Thanksgiving because of success, not just of finding her now, but the family had agreed to let him go with her then. They stayed the night, and the next morning, his mission completed, he's ready to go back. But as we might think, you just go in and grab the young lady out and go home. That's a little different there. So they said, stay here 10 days. Let's give us 10 days and we'll go. So he said, no, I need to go back. So they called Rebecca in, ask her, and she said, I will go. So, about leaving father and mother and leaving to your, going to your husband. It's quite a task there. So the family blesses her, sends her and her handmaid back with them. They get back then to the homeland. Isaac's out in the field meditating. Don't know how long it's been since Sarah died, but he's still having some thoughts about that apparently. But he takes her into his mother's tent. She becomes his wife, and we talk about the phrase, and he loved her. She became his wife. So, different from our customs now, no courtship, no dating, no anything. Here she is, selected for you, and their husband and wife. He has his duty, she has her duty, and they're together. And a whole different scenario from what we have in this day and time. In the meantime, Abraham takes another wife. We don't know when this happened, chronologically. Not now, obviously, because Abraham, in our story now, is well past the childbearing age, so it happened sometime back. It's kind of getting all wrapped up through the details about Abraham at this point. So, wife Keturah has some sons, one of which is Midian, which comes into play later on in the story, the Midianites. He gives gifts to all his sons, but the inheritance goes to Isaac. Isaac is the blessed son. And so that would go to him. Abraham dies at age 175, and Isaac and Ishmael come together then to bury him in the cave of Machpelah. And noted there also that Ishmael died at age 137. So that kind of catches us up with where we are ready for tonight. Here's the chart I passed out to you. More detail on the bottom part of it than what we've been seeing on the screen. It's a little harder to read on the screen now. Here's Abraham up here. We've been kind of centering on that. You'll get the layout of the chart maybe. And then here's Isaac. And of course Isaac comes down and marries Rebekah over here, the daughter of Bethuel and the brother of Laban here. So kind of get you oriented to where we are with that tonight. All right. We're ready to get into tonight's thing. Tonight's lesson is all about Isaac. Start with 25:19. The story totally shifts. As you read through it, Abraham's dead. We're going to find out that's not quite true yet. Then we'll get into the lesson tonight. But starting at 25:19, we're now into the life of Isaac. He becomes a central character. And really a very short time. So we'll kind of wrap up Isaac in the lesson tonight. Just one night. We'll get most of his life here done. Not quite, but most of it. But Isaac's married to Rebekah. He's 40 years old when he marries her. And then time passes and she has had no children. So Isaac prays to God on her behalf, excuse me, that she might have children. She becomes pregnant. Isaac's now 60 years old and we have two boys born, Esau and Jacob. When we talk about the two, we normally say what? Jacob and Esau, but actually Esau's the oldest, and we'll see about that tonight. We'll get into it too. So Esau will be the oldest and Jacob there. So now, question. When they're born, how old is Abraham? He's not really dead, like we might think from the previous chapters. 160 is going to be, right? Because if he's 60, he's more than 100. So Abraham's now 160 years old, still alive at this point, up in the chart. So he'll actually see the first 15 years of the life of his grandsons, Esau and Jacob. So even though the story, the Bible story puts him dead there, this is kind of wrapping up Abraham, turning the story over to Isaac, and yet Abraham is still living into this point up here. Okay? So. All right, 25, verse 23. Rebecca has a concern. These babies are jostling in her womb, in her body. And the Lord tells her there's going to be two nations, separated, from you. She has twins coming. Will y'all got twins coming? So twins. Okay. But she has twins coming and then one's going to be stronger than the other one. And the other unique thing about it is the older will serve the younger. That's told before they were born. The older will serve the younger. And we'll see that play out as we get in the story tonight here. So, two nations, two sons, one stronger, older will serve the younger. Keep that in mind as we go through the class tonight. So, we don't know much about these two boys, except here's their birth, and then jump ahead some amount of time. We don't exactly know how much, but now they're grown. And Esau's a hunter. He's a skillful hunter, a man of the field, likes to be outside. His father, Isaac, is favorite toward him because of that. He likes the game he fixes and cooks for him. So Esau is favored by Isaac, outdoorsman, hunter, whatever. Jacob, on the other hand, is like the opposite. He's a mild man, likes living in the tents. They're around the domestic part of the operation, if you will. And he is favored by his mother, Rebekah. So we have some favoritism going on here with the two. And that's going to come into play again as we go through the lesson tonight. So, at some point, again, we don't know exactly when this all happens, but there's only two or three main events told about Esau and Jacob. Their birth, and now this point here about the birthright. So, Esau is also called Edom because he was red, and later on the nation of it comes from him. It's not the Esauites, it's the Edomites. Okay, the name Edom comes there, so he's the father of the Edomites as the nations come out and play out here. So he comes in from hunting, very tired, very weary, didn't kill any game, come back and eat, and he's like, I'm famished. I just can't make it anymore. I can't move. I'm going to die. I got to have something to eat. You know. So, Jacob freaking stew, but he comes back in. Esau wants some. Smells it. So Jacob, does a little bargain in here. What did he say? I'll give you some stew with what? Sell me your birthright. What's important about the birthright? The double portion of the father's inheritance. Okay. And it was something that's very special. We'll see that later on as we talk about it some. There's something very special. Not something that you mess around with. It's something that shouldn't really mean something to you. The birthright. But he's going to take it now and he's, if I don't get it something to eat, I'll never make it anyhow. So what's a birthright to me? It doesn't matter. It's not worth anything if I'm dead. And so he decides to sell his birthright to Jacob. So Jacob's going to stew and he bargains with Esau, I'll give you something to eat, but you got to sell me your birthright. And so he does it. Foolishly, as we'll see. So the text says he despised his birthright. He treated it as if it were worth nothing. And we'll get to read in Hebrews later on and talk about the words there used to describe what he did with that. So Esau sold his birthright, traded it for nothing, a bowl of stew, and the text says he despised his birthright because of that. So that's one event in the life of Esau and Jacob. We're going to jump across now to another one here. We're going to get something else in between. The promises that were made to Abraham. The promises that were repeated to Abraham multiple times. What are they? Three things. Land, nation, and the seed. Okay, the three promises made to Abraham back in chapter 12, repeated again to him. Now, those same promises are made to Isaac. In the last half of this chapter here. To your descendants, I will give this land. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And they will have the land. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, same three promises made to Abraham. Same battle. Look at the end of that little part there, and why did he say these things would come about? What was the why? Read right after this, where these promises are given. And he says, because of Abraham's obedience. Okay? We talk about the faith of Abraham. And we talk about it a lot this quarter. Hebrews 11 talks about the faith of Abraham. No doubt that Abraham had great faith. But over and over and over, what do we see about Abraham's faith? The working faith. It's an obedient faith. Over and over and over, see that illustrated. We talked about it, talked about it, talked about it. I will run it in the ground, but so we really need to understand that if we have faith, if we really believe what God is telling us, what does he say over and over? If you will keep my commandments, you'll be blessed. So that's throughout numerous times. If you love me, do what? Give my commandments. Just over and over. So it's not just a faith, it's a working faith, as Freddie put it. It's obedient faith. That's to see that come up here again in this. Giving the promises out to Isaac because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my commandments, kept my statutes, kept my law. All right. Okay, I'm going fast. Anybody want to slow down in comments in here at some point? Need to make. Yeah. So he had been there. They came in when he was 75, right? and he died when he was 175. So got a few years to go, but it's been almost 100 years there. No. No. He didn't, never told them. He got beyond my son Isaac as far as the inheritance is concerned. He had other children, but that one son's all he saw. He's going to see the two grandsons now for a short period of time. How much land they own? The cave of Machpelah, that's it, right? The place to bury your dead. So he had very little of his, what he got as far as the promises, as far as what Abraham saw in his lifetime. It's all going to be down the road. In fact, we get a point here where he's told that, well, they've already had it, I guess, where your descendants will be in bondage for 400 years. Remember that? And they come back out to inherit the land. So Abraham didn't see much of it. All right. The territory where we're going to get into now with Isaac is, here's Beersheba, the Negev, or the south down here, this little desert, barren land here, Sodom and Gomorrah. They think the spot was Dead Sea. Right up here, you get one little glimpse of the Mediterranean Sea. This is the coastline right up through here. It's coming around toward Egypt down here. So this is the land of what nation is over there? The Philistines, okay? And in fact, city is there. If you think about later on, Gaza, Gira up here. This is all the land of the Philistines. And that's where we're getting into now with Isaac. So keep that part there in mind. So he's in Gira. And who's the king of the Philistines? Abimelech on the screen up here. Okay. Everybody see it? So Abimelech's the king, and what's Isaac going to do now? Same thing his daddy did, which was what? Lie about his wife. Almost the exact parallel to what Abraham did. Abraham did it twice, we know of. But here's Isaac. So he agrees with Rebekah, a very beautiful woman. He's again fearful for his life, just like Abraham was. So he agrees with her that you will be my sister. Tell him you're my sister, and not his wife. So, what did Abimelech do because of that? Took her in, okay? Took her in. But, looking at his upstairs window one day, what did Abimelech see? What did Abimelech see? So, Isaac caressing his sister. Well, it wasn't his sister, okay? Treating her with tender affection, I think one translation says. And what does Abimelech realize all of a sudden? They ain't your sister, okay? Ain't many guys gonna treat your sister like that. She's really your wife. And Abimelech's reaction to it is kind of interesting. How did Abimelech react? No big deal, take her and go. He was really concerned about it. Why? One of us might have lay with her, and why'd he care? He doesn't follow God. He's a heathen out here. To me, it's very interesting reaction that Abimelech had, that if he or one of his people had slept with Rebekah, it'd have been wrong. How about that? Why would this heathen king care? I don't know, but yeah. But same reaction we had before with Pharaoh. You know, nothing's happened, but concerned about it. Take her and go. Get out of here. He's very, very concerned about it. Not like, no big deal, she's mine now, like that. But he was actually totally concerned at what might have happened, even though he's a heathen king here. So anyhow, please let interesting sidelight. So, sounds very similar to what Abraham did. Same type thing. Okay. Alright. Now Abimelech and his guys and Isaac and his guys are going to get into a little skirmish here over some wells. So the Lord has blessed Isaac. You plant a crop. How'd the crop do? Heaven's going on, right? But God told them, don't go down to Egypt. Stay in the land. They planted a crop. Here's the time of the famine. Hundredfold, okay? Hundredfold. Great blessing. So, Abimelech gets concerned. You're a mighty, mighty man. You're mightier than us. Get out of our territory. Leave us. Leave us. Let us alone. You're mightier than we are. It's just some fear seems to be in Abimelech here because of this. The might that Isaac has and the relationship he knows he has with God, seems like. So, in addition to the wealth he accumulated, he also, of course, inherited all this wealth from Abraham. So Abraham was very rich before he died, right? So now Isaac had more time to build on that even now. So it's increasing even more. So now we get into a section over some wealth. Several years ago, when Bob Walter was still here, he did a series of sermons on redigging the wealth. Y'all remember that? Anybody that was here back then, remember Bob preaching on going back and digging out the old sermons, the old lessons, the old text that we need to go back and preach over and over and over again, I think. And this came from this idea here of redigging the wells. And that's what Isaac has to do. So, Abraham has dug these wells because he'd been in the same territory, watering his flocks. But what did Abimelech's guys done? Fill them back up with dirt, okay? Not sure why, if they didn't need to water their flocks with, maybe it's, I don't know, too far out, whatever, anyhow. They fill it back up. So Isaac comes back and has his guys dig them back out again. And gets into a little skirmish with that, over that. So he winds up moving back down toward Beersheba, which is moving away from the Philistines, away from Abimelech, and there, and he digs another well out there, the well at Beersheba, and, Lord there promises to bless him, and then Abimelech comes back to visit him, and he wants to make a covenant with him. So they do, they have a meal, and make a deal, a covenant, and he has water in the well there, his servants found water, and they name the place Beersheba because of that. So then we get into a problem. Here's the problem with Esau. Why did Esau go get wives from the Hittite women? What's about to happen? This step we don't really know. The next set wives, it really seems to be a problem, a reaction like Freddie says to his brother. But he's gone here now and takes this. But look at what it says about his parents. What he had done grieved his parents. You've got to know that Esau knew better. He knew what was doing was going to hurt his parents. Because it's not the women that he needed. We've already talked about the importance of the woman's role in the home, with the mother, the wife, the daughter, and things like that. We'll get some more of that even tonight as we go into it. Esau takes these wives from the land, and his parents are grieved because of it. So now we get the next episode in the life of Esau and Jacob. Already got the birthright. And that comes with a blessing. So Isaac's very old, and he wants to bless his son Esau, the oldest, right? The one that would have rights to the birthright, wants to bless him before he dies. Keep in mind he's nearly blind. Very significant point as we come into this part of the lesson here. So he calls Esau in and sends him out to go hunt some game, go find the game, make it, cook it like I like it, fix it like I like it. So Esau, being an outdoorsman, would leave and go out to find the game. Don't know how long it took, but he wants to give him the blessing before he dies. Rebecca hears about it. She overhears the plan. As we start this next point, think about who we're talking about. We got Rebecca, we got Jacob. You name the patriarchs, who do you name? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You think about good guys, good people. But just watch what he's fixing to do. So Rebecca plots with Jacob to deceive his father. So deceit's coming in here. Going to deceive Isaac, old man, blind, can't see, and she's going to get the blessing for the favor, her favorite son, not for Esau. So, think about what she does. She goes and gets goats, kills it, prepares the food just like he likes it. That phrase is in there again. So it will trick Isaac. He'll eat the food, think it's that. What objections does Jacob bring up? What's the problem? One's hairy, one's skinny, right? Or smooth. So she takes the skin off of the goats, puts it on his hands, the back of his neck, and makes it where if Isaac feels of him, he'll feel the hairy skin and know it's Esau. Now, what else do they do to make it look like it's Esau? Put his clothes on, okay? That's what'll come into play later on. So he puts the clothes on him, puts the skin on him, fixes the food just like he likes it, and Jacob goes in and to his father to give him the food and to get the blessing. So what's Jacob's role in this whole thing? His brother's kind of running the show, seems like. What does Jacob do this wrong? It went along with it for one thing, but what question does Isaac specifically ask, are you my son Esau? What did he say? Yes, I am. Okay. Flat lie. Okay. He specifically asked him, are you my son Esau? So he gets that and he gets the blessing. And Jeffrey 27, 28, and 29. Chapter 27, verses 28 and 29. The blessing. Listen to this. The older will serve the younger. Now, he didn't know that. That's exactly the blessing he gave the younger. This boy. Okay. So the blessing has been given. Now who comes back in? Almost right after it. Esau comes back in. He's found the game. He's prepared it just like Isaac likes it. He goes in. Now that's what's happened. That was his reaction. It was a blessing. I brought the food in. It was my blessing. Now, what does Isaac realize? It's already happened. It's already happened. Your son, your brother has come in and stolen the blessing from you. So he says, give me a blessing too, my father. Bless me also. I don't have a blessing for you. What does he get, Jeff? Right, very, very opposite of the blessing that Jacob got. So I just said, there's no blessing. I have nothing left for you. Okay. And Esau weeps when he realizes what's happened. And he, I'm sure, thinks back to what he did, that bogus suit back there. So Esau's future, Isaac tells him, he goes, well, away from the fatness of earth, things Jeff just read, lived by the sword, serve his brother. But later on, he would break the yoke of his brother's rule over him. Don't know this is what it is, but what I've heard, what I understand. Think about later on, in New Testament time, when Herod the Great is ruling over the Jews. What nationality was Herod the Great in New Testament terms? Idumean, which really is a Edomite. Herod is an Edomite, a descendant of Esau, ruling over to Jesus in New Testament times. So, Esau hates Jacob, as you might expect. Given all he's done to him, whatever. He said, I'm going to kill him. So remember this point. This will be very important a little later on, three or four lessons down the way here. This very point, I'm going to kill him, comes back into play very much so. So Rebecca learns the plan to kill him, and so she's going to send him back to her brother Laban. Just a few days, so things settle down a little bit. Esau cools off. How long did you wind up staying? 20 years? 7, 6? Yes. Come up here soon. So she tells Isaac, we don't want him to take a wife from around here. Send him back, let him get one. So Isaac goes and tells Jacob that, go back, don't take a wife from his daughters, the Canaanites. Go back and get one. Send him back to Laban and sit down around to get a wife. And one more. Jacob then, or 77 this time, Esau knew Isaac did not want Jacob to marry the Canaanite. So he goes out and gets him another wife. This time, the Israelites. So, what have we seen tonight? It's a hurried session here. Favoritism? Parents, look out. That's a problem. Starts from favoritism. Lies? Deceit? Trickery, hate, issues over spouse selection, where your wife's come from, the effect of it having on there, rebellion toward parents, and also the promises of God we need here, knowing they'll come true. Okay, rush session. Somebody. Yeah, why do you put up with them, right? Yeah, but it's going to be like that all through the Israelites and even Moses. I mean, it's coming. Yes, sir, briefly. No, I don't think it's the same man. I think it's a title, right? So yeah, I don't think it's the same. Right, I agree. You're a good point. Okay, it's like the pharaohs in Egypt. It's a title for the king. That's what I've read about that. All right. Jacob of Esau, right, yeah. Blindness, right. He knows what's going to happen. Uses the providence and the events of man to accomplish that purpose. Right. Yes. Good. God's in control. Yes. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Well, I pick out the things to talk about at the end of class. They're not, they may not be the best points to make, but if you've got something to make, I'll sure be quiet and listen to you here in a bit. Let's talk about this birthright and the fact that Esau despised his birthright a minute. Hebrews 12, verse 16. If you flip over here, if you want to, we're going to look at two or three verses here, but verse 16 says, and the writer tells us, unless there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau before a morsel of food sold his birthright. So it's profane person. What's a profane person? Well, to be profane is to be characterized by irreverence or contempt for God or something religious, something sacred, something special. And the last thing, to treat something sacred with irreverence. But to profane it, to treat it at less value than what it has. The word profane here refers to one who by his word or conduct treats religion with contempt or has no reverence for that for which is sacred. That's what Esau did. He didn't put it in the proper place by his manner of life or by even a sneer. So, neglect of religion. Openly renouncing the privileges which might connect us with salvation. Religion here is one who should openly cast off all hope of religion for indulgence in a temporary pleasure. Esau gave up the birthright for what? One moment's temporary pleasure, and in a few hours, guess what? He's hungry again. Okay. So where do we put our proper emphasis on things? Ready to read 14 through 17. Romans 12. Look at this verse 16 in context here a little bit. The writer sets off and says, pursue peace and holiness. If you don't do that, you're not going to see God. Peace and holiness. If we don't have that in our life, we're going to see God. And then he tells us about three things here. Look carefully, lest three things come up. You fall short of the grace of God. You don't treat the grace of God with respect you ought to. Lest any root of bitterness spring up. Bitterness is about the opposite of peace and holiness. Look at the commentaries. The word bitterness here means it's a poison. It's the same word that comes from a poison. Bitterness among us will kill us. Not the opposite of peace and holiness. And in the same context, then it says, or lest there be a fornicator or profane person. What did you say a profane person was? Someone who treated something special, something sacred, something holy, something with no regard. Now, because of these things Esau did, Esau was rejected. And when he came back, there was nothing Isaac could do about it. It was already done. When we get to the day of judgment, if we have done these things, if we have not pursued peace and holiness, we followed for the grace of God, had bitterness and caused trouble, profaned the things that we should not. Is there any change in our judgment? Not once the judgment is here. Not once the sentence is passed. It's done. Yeah, I mean, I missed the point. That's the context I see that this thing's right in the middle of. It says, pursue peace and holiness. There's three or four things. If you do these things, it's be all over. So. All right, we'll stop there. A few more slides getting into more of this wife selection and marriage thing, but most of you have already got that taken care of, so we'll pass that and go on. Okay. Thank you.